Well, it's good to be back. For those of you that don't know, I was on the other side of the earth for the last 2.5 weeks ministering in India, and God certainly blessed the ministry there. And you sent me there, and the Bible says that when you participate in the work of a prophet or a teacher, you get a prophet or a teacher's reward. So congratulations to all of you. We also want to welcome the Krobels. They're back from their long, long trip. My trip was about 30 hours. They beat me by about 10. Theirs was 40 hours on the way back. So welcome, Gary and Sylvia, for your 2 months here, and we're praying that God will bless you. Well, as we prepare now for the Lord's table, we want to do two things. We want to think back to the five baptisms, and we want to think forward to the Lord's table. And the past few Sundays, we've been working through John chapter 13 through 15, celebrate the Lord's table. And so I want you to turn to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. We'll read it together, and then I'm going to make a few comments, and then we'll gather around the Lord's table. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Let us pray and ask God to bless the preaching of his word this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before your most holy word, believing it to be inspired by your Holy Spirit, without error, without fault in every way, fully trustworthy. We thank you, our Father, for giving us your word, that we may know you, that we may know how to live, and that we may know how to be blessed in the way that we live. And so, Father, as we humble ourselves before your word this morning, would you be our teacher? Would you speak through your Holy Spirit to our hearts and lives? Would you comfort the brokenhearted? Would you encourage and strengthen those who are weak? Would you bless those who are pressing on in their walk? And Father, we pray especially for those who are here with us today who do not know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, having never repented of their sins and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. May they come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We ask these things, our Father, for the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we know that in the previous chapters, our Lord knows that his time has come to die on the cross. That is why Jesus came. You know, when we celebrate the Lord's birth at Christmas, you know, we have the manger scene and the star and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, and it's a wonderful, blessed scene of joy and celebration, the angels declaring the coming of the King, the Messiah. But there's a shadow hanging over that manger, and that shadow is the cross. Jesus came to die. He came to die because people, us human beings, have a sin problem that separates us from God, and if that sin problem is not taken care of, we will die in our sins and we will go to hell. And so Jesus comes. He came. He came to be our substitute, to die in our place, to pay the penalty that should have fallen upon us. Each one of the baptismal candidates this morning have experienced that in their own lives. They've put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're believing on Him. He has paid the penalty for their sins, and they enjoy His righteousness. Jesus knows that this time has come for Him to die. And He loves His disciples. It's amazing, it says in this passage that He loved them with the same love that the Father had for Him. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm shocked. I'm astonished. Can we even imagine how much God loves and loved His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? It's incomprehensible. And Jesus says to His disciples, I have loved you with that same kind of love. That's awesome. And that's why it says, and Paul says in Romans 8, 38 and 39, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. We are blessed to be God's people. Jesus knows He's going to go to the cross. He knows that His disciples can't follow Him there. And because He loves them so much, He tells them that He is leaving them. He tells them that they can't follow them. And because they have not yet received the Holy Spirit, they're full of fear, they're full of frustration, they're anxious, they're worried. And so we find in John chapter 13 through 16, Jesus' comforting words to them. And in this passage, one of the things that was very discouraging for them was the news that one of them would betray Jesus. You remember that when Jesus told the disciples this, they were all shocked and they said to Jesus, "Is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" You know, we learn from this that the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ was really no different in many respects than the rest of the disciples. Nothing that could be seen in his outward behavior. We know that person was Judas. So not only do they have this news that Jesus is going to die, not only do they know that they can't follow Him, but now one of their intimate group is going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ into the hands of His enemies. So they're worried. They're fearful. They're afraid. And Jesus in John chapter 15 in this passage, He wants to explain to them Judas. And that's why He gives us this analogy of the vine and the branches. Who is really connected to the Lord Jesus Christ? My friends, this is the most important question that any of us could ever ask in this life. This is the most important question any person could ask. How do I know that I am saved? How do I know that I am a true Christ follower? How do I know I'm not a Judas? How do I know that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm not going to go to hell? My friends, that's the most important question you could ever ask in this life. If you're asking other questions, please listen. Ask this question. Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? The most precious thing that you have, that you possess, is not your car, it's not your home, it's not your job, it's not your RRSP, it's not your family, it's not your wife, it's not your kids, and you can add anything you want to that. My friends, more important than all of those things put together is your soul. Because you see, a day is coming. Nobody escapes that day. Everybody here is going to die. Not one of you are going to escape that unless you're here when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We're all going to die. And the question is, what happens when I die? Where do I go? Where will I spend eternity? And Jesus is here ministering to his disciples, seeking to encourage them. They're fearful, they're afraid. What about Judas? Judas was one who did not abide with the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in this passage many, many times Jesus saying over and over again, abide, abide. And that word means remain. Don't depart. Stay with me. Don't go your own way. Follow after me. You see, that's why when I baptized each one of these individuals, I asked them, is it your will and your purpose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of your life? Because you see, the Bible says, it's not how good a start you make in your spiritual life, it's how you end. The Bible says it is those who persevere to the end who will be saved. So Jesus uses this analogy of the vine and the branches to really comfort and encourage his disciples about the fear that they were having concerning Judas. Now, what I want to focus on this morning, and I'm thinking about our baptismal candidates especially, you know, the command in this passage is abide. Jesus says to his disciples, abide, remain, stay with me, don't depart. What are the blessings? And over the next few communion Sundays, we're going to be looking at a number of these blessings. And then the first blessing that we're going to look at this morning is salvation. You know, there are many images that the New Testament uses to describe the believer's union with the Lord Jesus Christ. They give us kind of an understanding of what it means to be in Christ, to be connected to him, to what it means to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to them. Sheep and a shepherd. You know, and you would do well this afternoon if you took some time just to think about this imagery. A sheep follows its shepherd. It hears the voice of the shepherd. A child and a father. A subject and a king. A slave and a master. The body and the head. The branches and the vine. Each of these gives a slightly different picture of what a true and vital connection to Christ looks like. You know, oftentimes when we're asked to describe, if you're a Christian, you're asked to describe what it means to be a Christian. You know, one of the things we often say is, I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know what we mean by that, but the problem with that statement is that every single person on the earth has a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Every one of you here, whether you know him as your Savior or not, you have a personal relationship with him. Why? Why do I say that? Because the Bible is very clear that he knows your heart. In fact, he knows your heart better than you know your heart. And the other reason why I say that is because he is your judge. He is all of our judge. We are all going to stand before him one day, and the only way a judge can judge is if he knows everything about us. We all have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think this morning, as we think about this blessing of salvation, a better way to describe our salvation is God is in me. God is in me. The Bible is very clear that as a Christian, I possess the triune God within me. Now, for some of you, you might be scratching your head and going, well, I've never heard that before. You know, I've heard about Jesus coming into my heart. But the triune God, listen to these verses. I'm just going to read them and listen to what they say. John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. That's the Holy Spirit. John 14, 20, in that day you will know that I, Jesus, am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus is in us. John 14, 23, if anyone loves me, Jesus says, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Romans 8, 10, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ is in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple? God's temple. And that God's Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. 2 Corinthians 6:16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And we have Paul's famous confession in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2:22, in him you are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And finally, Colossians 1:27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you see how the Scriptures over and over and over again describe God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living within you? Isn't that awesome? When you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he takes up residence within you. You know, as I've been studying this and praying over it, it's been powerful in my life. You know, when temptation comes my way, to stand there and look at that temptation and to say, you know, I have God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit standing there watching me. So, Tim, I can just, you know, picture this conversation going on between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit looking at me and going, okay, Tim, what are you going to do? I don't know, you know, as a Christian, man, I'll tell you, what a disincentive to sin and to give in to my temptation. That's a tremendous blessing to have God dwelling within us. Now, what are we to do in light of this reality that the triune God lives within us? Jesus says in John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Our responsibility, brothers and sisters, and especially baptismal candidates, our responsibility is to keep ourselves connected to Christ, to maintain that relationship, that vital, life-giving, nourishing relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not until we face disaster in our lives that often that's really tested, right? Disaster outside of our control often reveals false Christians but proves genuine ones. You see, the more our faith is tested, the stronger it gets versus those who collapse. You see, that's why Jesus says, abide in me. Because you see, when we follow Christ on his road, on his path, when we take up his cross and follow him, when we renounce everything, my friends, we welcome a life of trouble and trial. Don't let that be a disincentive to you, my friends, because it's the best life you could ever live. Because it is through those troubles and trials that God has chosen to strengthen our faith and prove it to be genuine. That's what James tells us in James chapter 1. You see, the more faith is tested, the stronger it gets. New believers often struggle with assurance because their faith hasn't yet been tested. You see, trials make us stronger, and they prove our vital connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. True faith is a proven faith. So having heard and responded to the word of Christ, disciples must maintain their life-giving connection to Jesus. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Don't depart. Don't be like Judas. Don't go your own way. When the troubles and trials of life come, lean into me. And you will find that I am your whatever present help in your time of trouble. Psalm 46 and verse 1. Stay connected. Keep your connection firm and strong. And we do that as we draw near to God through His Word. As we do all that we have been commanded, we will abide in Christ and in turn find Christ abiding in us. And we will bear much fruit for Him. Well, my friends, as we now come to the Lord's table, this is an opportunity for us to reaffirm our commitment to abide in Christ. This is His table. So if you're a believer, if you are born again, if you know what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, having repented of your sins, you're welcome to come to this table. If you haven't done that yet, let the cup and the bread pass. This is only for those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come, ushers or those who are going to serve, please come forward now. As we gather around this table, what we're doing is saying, Jesus is Lord, He's my Lord, He's my Master, and I am abiding in Him. Let us join together as we celebrate what Christ has done for us.